game. Are you ready?
Yeah!
Welcome to your source for the best sports talk on University of Michigan football and basketball, Detroit sports, and the best national sports headlines. This is the Stone Cold Sports Truth. And now, the man who will be providing you with his vast knowledge of the world of sports, Derek Stone.
Good morning and welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth. I am your host, Derek Stone. You can follow me on Twitter at SC Sports Truth. That's SC as in the initials of Stone Cold and then Sports Truth. Or you can follow me on my website at StoneColdSportsTruth.net. Today I have a very special guest for University of Michigan football fans. He was a wide receiver for University of Michigan football from 1985 to 1988. He holds the best career yards per reception average in school history with 23.4. He was a member of the 1986 co-Big Ten champion and 1988 Big Ten champion Michigan Wolverines. And his signature moment came against Ohio State in 1988 when he ran back a kickoff 59 yards to set up his game-winning 41-yard touchdown catch on the final drive to lead the Wolverines to a 34-31 win. John Colasar, welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
Hey, thanks for having me, Derek.
What have you been up to since your playing career ended at Michigan?
I think most of the parents out there realize that when you have four kids, that's about all that needs to be said. So raising four kids in Ohio and trying to make them successful out in life, and that takes the bulk of my time. And in between that, I've been in the internet security space selling technology for the last 20 years.
Well, that's great to hear that you've put your University of Michigan education to good use. Let's first start off, talk about your college football playing career. First off, I want to start off with what I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, that game in 1988 against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Describe that kickoff return that set up your game-winning touchdown catch against Ohio State.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, and I want to be clear on this because, you know, oftentimes, you know, people remember the big catches and the big plays and the big games and things like that. I think moreover than anything else, and in those days, and under those teams coached by Bo, and, you know, the things that I was part of, it really was a team effort. The aspect of any catch that I made or any record that I hold or anything that I did, I was just one of 11 on the field that day and one of 125. The weeks of practice, the 2 days, the working out, all that leads to that success. And, you know, I think it's important because oftentimes, you know, a guy or a play or a season is in the record books, but it's really all those unsung heroes that maybe not see game day or maybe not catch that pass or something like that. So, you know, the success, you know, in Ohio State games or anything else gets much more magnified as we get older. And certainly they're our great rival, and we love that game, and we want to be at their best. We want to play them at their best. And certainly a thrill for me to be on the receiving end of a catch that produced a winning game. But make no mistake, it was not one play to win that game. We were up 20-0 at halftime, and Ohio State made the adjustments they had to make and came roaring back and took the lead with 2 minutes to go. And, you know, we just were steadfast, and it's not that we didn't sputter or anything else. It's just that Ohio State found a weakness in whatever we were doing on defense, and the offense made a couple of errors and a couple of turnovers, and Ohio State made it a ball game. You know, the timing of the catch and all that makes it dramatic. The catch itself and the play itself was nothing really out of the ordinary that we didn't do everyday practice. You know, we were fortunate to get a good kick return, a good space. We had 2 minutes to go, so we had plenty of time no matter where that ball resided after the kickoff. Fortunately, we got on the other side of the field and ran a play or two and came back. And actually, the play itself, you know, I probably shouldn't have been the primary receivers. Based on their coverage, I had a couple of guys on me and probably should have thrown it over the middle to an open Chris Callaway. So a little bit of that and a little bit of luck and a little bit of fate helped me reel it in, and the game wasn't over. And, you know, the play that often gets forgotten in that game that you really should highlight is Mark Spencer's interception at the end of their last drive, because they took the ball and they were moving there. I think they were across the 50, if I'm not mistaken. and Mark Spencer picked the ball off about 20 seconds left to seal the win. So in that game, a lot of big plays, a lot of great players, and it was John Cooper's first year, and we were going for an outright Big Ten title. We were already going to the Rose Bowl, but the biggest play of that game was Mark Spencer's interception at the end.
Was that touchdown catch against Ohio State the most memorable catch of your college career?
Most memorable catch. I was going to say the most memorable play, you know, was a block. And I always kid people because, you know, people introduced me as a wide receiver at University of Michigan. But I came in as a running back, and they moved me to wide receiver. And certainly appreciating the workload a running back has and some of the skills that they possess, I became what was noted as a wide blocker. I think one of my most memorable plays was my first ever play, and it was against South Carolina in 1985, and it was a kick return. Kick went to Jamie Morris, and my responsibility was to kick out the farthest guy on the right. And I got up under his shoulder pads and pancaked him into the sideline. And, you know, it was a great play for me, and his first play. And, you know, so I guess when I look at my great plays, and that's the one that I remember the most. And then, you know, there are all the ones that you don't complete that, you know, I think as we get older, it's just stuff we don't do that we remember most. And again, certainly I had a couple of big plays and a couple of big games, and, you know, we didn't throw the ball a whole lot. So, you know, we got our kicks from doing other things away from the ball. And that's why the blocking and the kickoff a block and things like that. I think one memorable game was we were playing Iowa. Oh, I played maybe 85 plays, which is a lot of plays to get under the belt. There was one play that Bo singled out in Sunday's meetings where I made like two or three blocks in one play where I got knocked down, got back up, got knocked down, got back up, and kept at it. So those are the things that I remember that are most memorable to me, the things that maybe, you know, the TV doesn't catch and the fans don't see. It's all the things that you do away from the ball. So that's what makes those teams back then successful. So, you know, again, a lot of people remember the great catches and the last second this and the last second that, the big games and all that. But, again, the way I look at it, it's a team game, and it's all those things working in unison that makes us successful.
How were you able to consistently make big plays? As I mentioned earlier in the program, you are the all-time leader in career yards per reception with 23.4. How were you able to consistently make those big plays?
Well, again, statistics can be read so many different ways, and you know, it's not like you go out there and said, "I'm going to try for this," "I'm going to try for that." I think anyone who knows the game of football understands that you're a product of the system. And, you know, back in those days, you know, we didn't throw 45 times a game like they do today or 35 times. You know, we were lucky to get 20. And, again, because we had an effective running game. And so we only threw when we had to. And typically those were third and long or third and forever or at the end of a game. And typically when we needed to, we threw it. And we were successful. We were pretty efficient, I think. A couple of games with Harbaugh quarterback, you know, he was, 16 of 19 and 12 of 15, and, you know, he was very efficient. We didn't, when we threw, we had to, and when we had to, we made it count. And I think that's a function. I think I was kind of kidding Desmond one time because he was the flanker that replaced me, and he was under a different system because Bo had retired and Mo took over and Cam Cameron was running the offense. And I remember his senior year, which was his, you know, biggest year that he had. You know, I think he had like 61 receptions or something like that. Well, I had 61 in my career. It just kind of shows the system is produces those statistics. So it's a little bit misleading. I think anybody could have done any of that. And like I said, when we go back to AC and Jimmy Smith and those guys in the 70s and early 80s, same thing. If you know, they had a very large average yards per catch. Paul Jokic, Greg McMurtry, those guys as well. They're all in the top 5 or 10 of average yards per catch. So, you know, those are just, again, it's a product of the system. And it's not anyone's doing. It's just proved that system was successful. We ran the ball a lot. There's some great running backs during those times. Rob Lytle, Russell Davis, Stanley Edwards, Harlem Huckabee, Gordon Bell, you know, all those guys. Billy Taylor all ran the ball well. And then we converted to making some great quarterbacks and great receivers. We evolved with the game. And certainly Elvis and Jimmy and Todd Collins, Brady, you know, you name it. We were quarterback you for a while, and the receivers, right, you know, that have come out of that system as well. So looking to get some of that back for this year, and I think, you know, Jimmy's going to put it together and get the right people in place to make that happen.
Well, we're definitely going to be talking about the upcoming Michigan football season a little bit later on, but still want to talk about a little bit more about your college career. What was your most memorable season during your playing career?
I guess it's got to be the 85 season. You know, we were coming off 6-6. It was my true freshman year, so you know, I wasn't part of that 6-6 team, but I know that was the year that Harbaugh broke his arm, and it was a tough year, and they were coming back, and we weren't touted to do anything. And I really, you know, looking back at all the teams, and I might be this obviously subjective because I was on that team, but that was probably one of the best teams that Michigan's had in a long time. They had to come at the end of the year. The defense was spectacular. Jimmy was great. We had to break out players, defense, and on offense. You know, we ended up winning the Fiesta Bowl in Nebraska. And, you know, we had that loss against Iowa in the last-second field goal. We had a tie against Illinois, which was a kind of a bizarre game down in Champaign. But overall, that team, I think, you know, the people that were on that team, it was a special team. And it bounced back from 6-6 like we did. And we didn't win the Big Ten. And we didn't go to the Rose Bowl. But we finished second in the country. And I think people understood that team was without those blemishes, you know, certainly people felt that was the best team in the nation.
Who was your favorite teammate during your time at Michigan?
Well, that's a loaded question. I don't think I can answer all that. I you know, I am so fortunate to have played with so many great teammates. I could never name just one. I think the way the Michigan program was run back then was senior leadership was so important. And when I was a freshman, and Bo didn't like to play freshman a whole lot, but you know, I had an opportunity to get in there and play, and you know, I didn't get a chance to really bond with my class because I was injected. So I actually, you know, guys like Harbaugh and Paul Jokic and Eric Kattis, Jeff Akers, a lot of these fourth and fifth year seniors became the guys that I bonded with, and certainly led me to be the type of player I became. And you know, again, it's a function of the system and the program and the type of kids that were recruited back then. That I just, you know, again, some of these guys, you know, you don't see them, you know, 10, 20, 15 years, you know, and you see them, it's just like yesterday. And, you know, you wish you can have that every day, but, you know, it's a special time in your life. And for me, I had some just tremendous, tremendous teammates that today, you know, you grab a beer here and there with, and you reminisce, and you know how fortunate you really were back then.
Which one of Michigan's rivals? This includes Ohio State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, arguably the top three rivals in Michigan football history by most accounts. Which of those rivals did you enjoy beating the most?
Well, I'm not sure that I would use the word beating as much as competing. I enjoy competing against the best competition we could find. And no matter what the record, I think. And again, in those days, you know, Ohio State was strong, Notre Dame was strong. Michigan State was becoming more of a force. You know, they had good years and bad years. And I think, you know, I'm from Ohio, and my dad's from Ohio. And, you know, I live the fight every day, and I live in Ohio now. So, you know, going against the Buckeyes and playing against the Buckeyes, you know, it was the culmination of our season. We wanted them at their best. I know that they truly want us at our best. And you know, certainly the rivalry has been upside down the last 20 or 30 years, I guess. You know, in the 80s, 90s, we pretty much dominated. In the 2000s, they've dominated. And, you know, it's time to get back to center. And I think we'll get that with the leadership we have now in the program. But, you know, again, Michigan State, D'Antonio's done a remarkable job. And it's a testament to him. And again, he's part of the system as well. And he got trained within the Trestle system. And that was trained under the Woody system. So a lot of these systems are recipes for success, and what he's done up in East Lansing has been great, and taking some of these kids who might not be the right height or the right weight or the right speed, but making them football players. And I think that's what you got to look for in any type of kid, and I think that's what they did at Michigan when I was there. We recruited football players, and that added to the competitive nature of our team, and I think that's what people most appreciated about Michigan teams back then.
What was the most valuable lesson you learned from your coach, the late Bo Schembechler?
There's so many. I chuckle because, you know, I can't mention all of them because, you know, there are certainly situations that as a young man that you put yourself into that you probably shouldn't have been. And, you know, you respect, you know, the things that he's done. But, I, you know, there's just so much that and even today when I do my job, and I had a conversation with my boss this morning about a couple of things I'm trying to get done, and you know, I've tried to do everything. I tried to do everything right, and I tried to do everything great, and I'm 100% the whole time. Sometimes, you know, you can't, but you try. And I think that spirit and that drive to be excellent is probably the number one. And we know you can't. It's tough to be perfect 100% of the time, but you strive for it. You know, there's no challenge with not being able to do that, and you know, I think that was part of it, and everything you did, and I think, you know, part of that, you know, a little simple thing is always, you know, be early, don't be late, you know, simple thing, and in today's world, you know, people just don't do that, and I many times that I buffered time for a meeting, and you go to a meeting and there's traffic or there's a flight delay or something, and that has saved me so many times to be on time for a meeting because it's just. And not to make a difference to the people I'm meeting, but it makes a difference to me. It makes me a difference that I'm accountable for what I am, for where I'm going, for what I'm doing, respects their time and all of that. And that's just kind of one little tidbit of that. Lots of funny stories about people being on time or not being on time for our meetings down, you know, during those years. You know, it's just that. It's that ability to strive for excellence and understand that you keep working and you work hard and do the best you can. And if you do all those things, you know, chances are you're going to be fine. And that's, I think, the most important thing.
Okay, so let's talk about the upcoming Michigan football season. I know you follow your alma mater very closely year in and year out. So first off, I'd like to ask, what style of play can we expect to see from the Wolverines this upcoming season?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I'm not there. I would, you know, knowing the coach as I do, you know, I think when you look at, you know, Jim Harbaugh and his credentials, he's more than that, right? I mean, I knew him at Michigan. So his influence since he left Ann Arbor 30 years ago, which basically he hasn't been back since, but he's been influenced by Mike Ditka. He's been influenced by Ted Marchabrota. He's been influenced, you know, by so many great coaches along the way during his journey that he is, you know, he's got a lot to offer that team and those kids. I think you're going to see fundamental football. I think you're going to see tough football. I think you're going to see some tight ends and fullbacks. I think you're going to see folks that are going to be disciplined. You know, I think, and that's part of his fabric and what's made him successful in his career. But a lot of it stems from, you know, his coaching staff. And I don't know a lot of the other assistant coaches there, you know, other than their pedigree and things like that. But, you know, he's going to hire good folks and all that. And I think, you know, when, you know, just because I think he has even said this, he said, well, you know, it's because you're successful somewhere doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the next place. You know, again, you fall back on what you know and you do the best that you can. And, you know, the recipes that he has in his book have bred success. It's not guaranteed, but I think from what I've gathered and looking at him at the University of San Diego and Stanford and at San Francisco, that we hope that we're going to get a little bit of that too. And it usually takes care of itself. So and I'm looking forward to just everybody else. You know, the way I was coached football and the way it matters to me, I think, is a big part of how Jimmy's going to do it.
Are there any players that stand out in your mind for the upcoming season that are going to make a huge impact?
Well, we'll see. I like I said, sometimes when you're not touted as this or that, you know, you're going to have some guys that are going to rise to the occasion. You know, you talk about some of the stars that they have, and, you know, Jabril Peppers had a murky first year, and, you know, he wants to get out there and play some football. You've got a couple of running backs that are looking for breakouts. You've got, you know, quarterback competition that is going to breed the best that we got. Defensively, we've got to replace some folks. And, you know, we'll see. I like it because, you know, some of these kids are fighting for the playing time, fighting for the position. So there isn't that one superstar that's coming back, and I think that plays well for the team aspect. So, you know, I'm looking for the folks that rise to the occasion, you know. And, you know, I can't tell you who, what, when, or where. I mean, you know, you look at spring ball and spring practice. But, again, a lot of things that we don't see are going to be what stands out. And those are the things that these kids do away from the cameras. The weight room, the stuff that they do right now. Actually, this is their week off before they go back for camp. But what are they doing, you know, during the season? What are they doing off season? You know, who worked that? Who worked hard? Who didn't? You know, that's gonna lend itself here in the 2 days coming up.
Who do you think will be the starting quarterback?
That's tough. You know, obviously it's a new system for everybody. You got these. Jake coming in, it's a seasoned guy, at least take some snaps in the center. Shane's had a couple of snaps. The young guy, Malzone, you know, has been around spring ball. I think it's up for grabs, I think. And I think for Harbaugh, to pick the guy, he's going to be the guy that's going to command the offense. He's not going to be the guy that has the best arm. He's not going to be the guy that runs the football. He's going to be the guy that makes no mistakes, makes the right reads, the right calls, protecting the football always. That's number one, protect the football. Whether it's on the center, whether it's taking a snap, whether it's throwing it, I think you're going to see that guy. So whoever can rise to that occasion, I think you'll see that guy starting on Thursday night.
Jim Harbaugh was a mobile quarterback during his playing career, as you well know, playing with him during your time at the University of Michigan, and he coached a mobile quarterback at San Francisco in Colin Kaepernick. Will he institute a running style with the starting quarterback, even if that quarterback isn't mobile to begin with? What are your thoughts on that?
I think he's going to have a lot of different concepts offensively, concepts that have followed him around that have been successful. And I think, you know, as much as you can, you find your personnel to run those concepts. You can't force an option quarterback to be a drop-back quarterback. It just doesn't work very well. We've seen it tried. We've seen it fail. So I think, you know, where these quarterbacks are and running backs, and I think they all are going to have some ability to really do a diverse, comprehensive offense where I think you'll see a lot of it. I think you'll see some pistol. I think you'll see some spread. You'll see some double tight. You might even see some wishbone, you know, depending on the personnel available. And I think, you know, again, when we played, you know, 30 years ago, you know, we did all of it too. Bo used to kind of kid, but if you play in the North Atlantic, you gotta practice in the North Atlantic. And, you know, those are the things where in Michigan and in the Big Ten, you know, it's not always sunny in 85. And so you're going to have to run the football. You're going to have a power game. And then if you want to be competitive in non-conference and in the bowl seasons, you're going to have to throw the ball. So I think, you know, folks recognize that you're going to have a multi-concept offense, and I think you'll see some of those things here. But I think you'll see some tremendous fundamentals of basic blocking and tackling. Let's get the simple stuff right first before you put in all the fancy stuff and try to trigger it. Let's try to out-execute first, and then we can throw in the fancy stuff later.
Okay, I've got two more questions for you before I let you go. First one, what will Michigan's record be this season?
I made a practice a long time ago never to make predictions. I'm not that smart, nor do I have any control over it. So I just hope that Jim's proud of his team, where he wants them to be as an alum and as a former player. You know, I just like to see them put forth their best effort and know that they could be proud of that and let chips fall where they may.
All right, last question. How can listeners follow you?
I don't know if I have all the stuff you have. You know, I'm on LinkedIn. You know, some folks grab me on LinkedIn. I have a Twitter account that I do not use, but I do have it because I've been in a technology business, so I kind of grab all these names and URLs and things like that. But if folks want to connect to me on LinkedIn, that's fine. You know, I don't really post a whole lot, but if they ask any questions or something like that, I'd be happy to participate.
Well, John Colasar, I'd like to thank you very much for joining me here on the Stone Cold Sports Truth, and I have to give a big thank you to Rick Stites, a former teammate of John's at U of M. He's at Stites Financial in Ann Arbor. His website, StitesFinancial.com, and his phone number, 734-930-2330. John Colasar, once again, thank you for joining me here on the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
Hey, Derek, if you give me a chance, too, you know, Rick and Bob Stites, as I mentioned earlier, those are two of those unsung heroes. Those are guys that you want to go to battle with every single day. Those guys don't get highlighted, and I'm glad you mentioned him on the end of this call, but those are as much part of our team and the success of those teams as anybody. So I thank Rick and Bob Stites as well. Thank you.
All right, great to hear, John. Well, once again, thank you for joining me here, and hopefully we can do this again in the future.
You got it. Thanks, Derek. Have a great day.